Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Welcome back, everybody, to the Comic-Con podcast, season 4, episode 19. Milton the Manimal here, as always, with Justin, a.k.a. Nemesis Prime. We've got a star-studded cast today with us all the way from Connecticut, which is 6 hours away from me, super far, we were talking about. We've got Otto deep in the grotto. What's going on?
They're buried in a grotto. Happy to be here. Season 4, episode 19. Wow, man.
Buried under seven printings of Void Rivals and all the
printing sevens, every cover possible for Cobra Commander, Duke, me deep in it. I don't even know what I'm reading, but it's just great to be a geek right now.
Yeah, man. Well, glad to have you, dude. I think last couple times you've been on the show, I've actually have not been on with you. So you've been dodging me on here. So I'm excited to have this episode, especially since we've got some X-Men talk we're gonna talk about, and you're my fellow X-Men guy. So we'll get into some good stuff there. But yeah, dude, so let's just jump right into it. We're going to go ahead and kick off this episode with our weekly reads. Nemesis Prime, you want to start us off?
Yeah, so I got to talk with some hot garbage. I know, okay. I already got to start. And I got to preface this because I'm going to read something that came out back in 2018. So there was this thing that DC Comics adopted called the Black Label, right? And this was off. You could find this on Wikipedia, and you could also find this directly from their website when they announced it. So they decided to do this DC Black Label imprint, and it was consisting of original miniseries and reprints of books previously published under their other imprints. Now, the idea was that this was going to be more DC Universe characters for a mature audience with standalone prestige format series. Mm-hmm. Now, we've seen stuff like, the Batwang. So you get the Batman Damned. We've seen, stuff from like Swamp Thing, Joker, Harley.
You had Vic Sage Question One. They had one.
Yeah. They were all dark, mature titles. Mm-hmm. Now, I was really looking forward to this title that came out this week, known as The Boy Wonder.
Wow. Why? Okay. I didn't see this coming.
Oh, did you read it?
No, but I expected this to be your pick of the week because people have been saying decent things about it.
No.
Justin, who is a writer on it?
So his name is It's J-U-N-I is his first name, and then B-A. He's Sigalian and French.
Okay.
So whatever. But he's the writer, and he also did some art for some other stuff. And I was expecting Damian, especially on the Black Label, to be like an amazing book, right? Mm-hmm. First of all, it's drawn like a Disney book. That's the problem. Yeah, it's pretty sad. It's childish as far as the art, and even the writing is not the DC label, the DC Black Label imprint. It is just, it's very, Damian throughout parts of his life, and you see him with like Nightwing, you see him battling with Alfred and Batgirl, and just, it was just such a terrible book that I'm like, this is not mature at all. This looks like something that you'd find in the kids section. It really is. So I was so looking forward to this because of Damian, my favorite Robin, I should say, because Jason Todd is now at Hood. But yeah, this was definitely a horrible book.
Damn. I felt like I saw some other people remark upon that book saying it was really good. And so I already thought coming into this was going to be like your pick of the week. So I knew you liked Damian. Same thing. I was like, I wasn't planning on reading it, but I was like, well, let me see what he says about it, and then maybe I'll pick it up. It's still prestige format, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is just prestige garbage.
Damn. Okay.
It is. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, and again, you know, you could
the
like
story
it
or the art. What does
both? It's just both. Like, okay. It's not this. Like I said, the art is something out of a children's book, and then the story isn't mature enough. Like, isn't something like we've seen from like Swamp, you know, the Swamp Thing or Question or Rorschach or Batman or Joker, like any of those titles.
Dude, this I would like envision some type of Bill Sienkiewicz art. But the way you're talking, I'm almost thinking like adult manga or like anime. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not even there.
It's not even there, man. It is just, I can't even explain it. Like, I'm going to try to bring it up real quick. Yeah. So like you could just get an idea, but I was just super disappointed.
Yeah. What is this? It looks like, oh man.
Let me throw this up for Otto.
Yeah, I'm trying to think whose art this looks like. It looks like, you know what it looks like? Calvin and Hobbes.
So like, it's just not like, Otto, can you see this?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know,
very, to me that's like Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. You know, so yeah, that's
Go. That's a good one. Yeah.
Very,
it's not for adults. No, that's dude, that's Teen Titans Go. Like that three panel window up there. Come on.
Yeah, that's just so yeah, this is literally what I thought was gonna be an amazing thing, but it's very campy. Like, I'm just like, I could not get into this. I was just like, this is, and I'm really excited because
bucks.
Like
this is probably $8.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. $7.99 So I will not be going forward with the Boy Wonder. I'm hoping they announce the Zatanna, Bring Down the House. It's coming out in July. I'm super excited for that. I'm just hoping it's done well. So we'll see what Zatanna brings over the summer. So that was my hot garbage, but let's get into some good books. Batman 147.
Yes.
We're, you know, just continue. Chip is continuing to crush it with the Failsafe stuff. Really, you know, Batman is, you know, at his end. Like, he has nowhere to go. He has no gadgets. He has no family. He needs a family. We finally, you know, see Tim find him. You know, it's where Bruce can hide that Failsafe won't be able to find him. It's just absolutely amazing. Like, I am just loving this story arc now that they've kind of gone back to this. Next up, there's so much Blood Hunt that came out this week, right?
Yeah, I thought we'd tackle that all as one group. Yeah. The Blood Hunt books.
I figured, you know, like, I'm not going to talk about each and every one. I didn't read too many of the tie-ins because I'm not really, and I know you could read probably just the tie-ins by themselves, but I was figured I'll just pick my favorite miniseries. So this week you had the Blood Hunters, you had the Strange Academy, and you had Dracula. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I love the Dracula one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dracula and Blade's daughter, Bria Brooke.
Brielle, like, yeah.
Yeah, really cool. Just, you know, even Dracula's against this whole, like, whatever's going on with the coven, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're kind of, like, teaming up. You're trying to see what's going on. He's got this massive badass armor on, but some things are going behind the scenes, and I think Brielle's going to be, you know, something for this Blood Hunt series. So Otto, did you get a chance to read any of the Blood Hunt stuff this week or even
I saw some of the books. I saw that people were going crazy getting the bloodier covers of them, you know what I mean, and things like that. I saw people talking about them during Free Comic Book Day, but this wasn't something I wanted to start messing around with because I'm all in on the Energon universe right now. Cheap plug, but yeah.
So I read all the Blood Hunt stuff, all the tie-ins, all the with everything, and I would agree. Dracula was probably the best one. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited to see the team up of Dracula and Brielle going forward. I'm looking at a list of them right now. Amazing Spider-Man. I don't know. It's kind of lame, kind of pointless. And then, cause it was just once again, like Spider-Man's like, oh, we're killing vampires. Right. And then he's like, cool, I can kind of like cut loose. And then of course, Peter Parker finds a way to ruin it. And he's like, oh, I can't kill them. They used to be humans. Like, dog, you know, come on, dude. They're vampires now. Stake them, bro. So he's like, oh, I can't do it now. So he sucks. And then Doctor Strange was good. It kind of like, you know, gives you a little bit more info on what's going on there. I still don't want to spoil too much of what happened.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with Blood Hunters. I thought it was going to be more of a team rather than like an anthology.
Yep.
And, the stories were okay. I did enjoy the Man-Wolf story. I really enjoyed that. the whole book was kind of written, besides the Dagger storyline, both Hawkeye and Manwolf's storyline were a little comedic, but mm-hmm. I did enjoy Manwolf's story.
Nice.
And then the Strange Academy, I don't know, man. I've never been a big fan of Strange Academy in general. I think the characters aren't very interesting. And I think it's, you know, this is what Marvel does, right? Like, hey, here's a title that couldn't survive on its own. We got a crossover. Let's bring it into a miniseries. Here comes Strange Academy again. It was okay. It's kind of interesting with how the little twist at the end. But yeah. Honestly, the weakest one, though, out of all those, the Venom tie-in. Did you read the Venom tie-in? Like, that was kind of...
Yeah, because it was a different writer, different artist, so it, like, completely changes what we've seen for the past, like, what the father and son storyline that's going on. And, of course, that's what happens, is, like, you're so worked into this storyline, and then immediately you're, like, kicked to the curb because you have to have this tie-in with what's going on with the Blood Hunt. So.
Oh, sorry. The Avengers. I actually did like the Avengers issue as well. I like that team that they got, the team of Cap, Hercules, Quicksilver, Kate Bishop, and Hazmat. I love Hazmat. And I thought she was a great character to have in there. It was a really cool, like, you know, backup Avengers team that kind of comes calling. I enjoyed that book too. So so far, week one, since it's like the first week of like a bunch of titles coming out. Mm-hmm. I'm good with Blood Hunt. Week one, strong week, in my opinion.
For the number one, the Moon Knight, the free comic book day. Yeah. And these they were solid. I didn't read all the tie-ins. Like, I would say the Blood Hunters was weird too. I was expecting a team. But I mean, at the end of that number one, you do kind of get the Dagger and mm-hmm. Elsa. So
yeah, that was cool.
Meet up. Yeah. And maybe they'll all meet up in the second issue, and then by the third issue, it'll be the team or whatever. But that was another good series, or, you know, good roundabout talk with all the Blood Hunt stuff. Another series that just ended this week was Beneath the Trees, number 6. Good round out to a 6-issue miniseries. That's the way it's done. Good storyline. You know, you have the beginning, you have a, you know, climax in the middle, and a good payoff at the end. So I did enjoy the final issue of Beneath the Trees. And again, it's something that could continue later on. I don't think it's something that should immediately come back, but I enjoyed it with Sam and finding out with Nigel and what's going on with him. And then just the killings were crazy. We're pretty nice. But pick of the week, Transformers number 8, the final issue with Daniel Warren Johnson and Jorge Corona. This issue, you finally get kind of, I guess, what's kind of maybe like a Headmaster's beginning. Like, you have Carly and RC, and she's like taking her on as an apprentice. Like, maybe mm-hmm. we could see some future Headmaster stuff. This is also the first issue where you have Soundwave as the leader. That's something that we haven't seen.
Loved it.
So, yeah, I mean, he was badass, you know. And then they unearth the Nemesis, which was awesome to see. You know, that was something that you got to see obviously in the old school G1, and then first appearance, I guess, if you want to call it, of a triple changer. You got Astro Chain, who doesn't like somebody, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really pissed off at somebody.
He's really mad, dude. Yeah.
Astro Chain was great.
Oh man, he is. Man, I didn't know it was going to be him. The only way you would have known if it was going to be him is if you got one of the variants, because I think like the 1 in 25 has him on the cover or something like that. Yeah. So. Yeah. But yeah, so I just had the cover A, and I was just like reading it, and I'm like, oh my god, who's going to be in this behind this thing? And it's like, Astro Train just come barging through, and like, oh damn, and he was super pissed off. So yeah, pick of the week, Transformers number 8. Again, looking forward to what's going on. And if you read the free comic book day, you kind of saw some stuff for the Energon universe of what's coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. So that's my stuff. Otto, what about you? What do you got for some weekly reads? Whether it's this
nothing, I'm kind of backlogged on this Energon mm-hmm. universe. So I took this like sideways, and I'm going to tell you exactly when I got into this. Exactly when I was sold on this Energon universe is when Justin and I were at MegaCon. He had just picked up the Bird City exclusives to, I think it was Duke number 1 or 2, or was it Megatron?
Oh, Cobra Commander.
It was Cobra Commander 2, and he's like giggling about something. He's like, I guess he quick read it, and I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? He goes, dude, you got to read this. He goes, I'm like, I'm not reading it. He goes, let me tell you what happens. And he tells me what happens. I immediately go to my LCS after MegaCon, and I say, I'm all in on all these books. Give them all to me, every cover, every single one. So I got into the Cobra Commander. Then I backlogged the Duke, and I'm all caught up on that. And then I'm reading the Transformers 2, but I forgot about Void Rivals because I wasn't really paying attention to that. So now I just picked up Void Rivals 1, 2, and 3 in the eighth print. Okay, nice. Eighth print. To tell you that, like, if I'm not the only one giggling over this, there are lots of other people giggling over when you get into the eighth prints of stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So now, am I going to go down the rabbit hole and try 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? I don't know about it, but I'm all in on this stuff, and I can't wait to see the way this goes. I love the way Duke wrapped up. I'm a little bit nervous about the next two writers because it's not going to be Williamson, from what I understand, on Destro and Scarlet, but from what I understand, he will have a hand in it. So, you know, a little apprehensive, but thoroughly enjoying the rereads and just the how they're keeping certain characters in certain lanes in the book.
The good thing is they're 5-issue miniseries, right? Like, there's not a lot of damage you can do in 5 issues. Like, correct. Even if it's not great, it's you just kind of got to toe the company line a little bit. Like,
right.
It's never going to be like horrendous unless Scarlet or Destro or whomever is your character, and then they totally shit the bed on it. But
yeah, good point to that. You're right.
But yeah, it's such a great little universe.
So and you actually, and real quick, why don't you tell the people? You sent me something there, Zach, regarding the G.I. Joe that got announced that they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited about this. So they just announced it's on Kickstarter. It should come out, I think, at the end of the month is when the Kickstarter goes live. But it's a compendium for G.I. Joe Real American Hero, compendium number one. So really? I don't know. It probably has, like, I think compendiums are, someone's going to shoot me if I get this wrong, but it's a lot. Let's say it's a lot.
It's usually like 50 issues.
A little bit more, I think, is that an omnibus can be around 50 or so.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Compendiums are more. Yeah.
Like, I would want to say it's in the realm of like 50 to 100, but I couldn't tell you exact. But anyway, a lot of issues. But what's really cool is you can get either, there's two covers. There's the blue Joe cover or the red Cobra cover.
Oh, so, I have to get both of them.
Then there's guys like Otto that says, well, I got to get both of these books that are exactly the same. But, yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm actually already following it. The what do you call it? The campaign? What do you call them?
Yeah, campaign. Kickstarter.
Yeah, I'm following it and waiting for that. So I'm pretty pumped about that one. Because I haven't read like the old Real American Hero stuff, like to be honest. And I thought about doing it before because obviously it's still going on. Like Larry Hama is still writing. I think issue 306 just came out or something. So, I've always wanted to read it, and I was going to read them online, but that's a very daunting task for like 300 issues online. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that. So
hopefully that does well. And then they do Transformers like the original Marvel run in a compendium.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, the Skybound stuff is, you know, it's really reigniting interest in these properties. So, it'll be good. So yeah, we'll see.
I've had a few collectors, you know, old school collectors say to me, you know, all those G.I. Joes that I sold along the way, I'm going to start buying again because, you know, it's all tying in and the characters are still there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting like that. And I'll tell you, it's been more than a few people who have said that to me, like that, and for the Transformers based on what they're reading right now. So that's good, man. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good. There's nothing bad about this at all. No. So let's see, what do I got? So it's not hot garbage of the week, but I guess like a book that disappointed me. I should have known this was going to happen. So Marvel's doing giant size right now. I think they did a giant size. It was maybe a Hulk came out first. I think so. And then this week,
Spider-Gwen, which was for whatever reason, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I know they've got Daredevils next week, I believe. But this week was giant size X-Men. And so I was like, okay, cool. Cover is Angel. We didn't really get a lot of Warren Worthington in the Krakoa Age. She showed up a little bit in like X-Corps, and you saw him like a little bit here and there and different titles, but not a real strong like run with him. So I was like, cool, maybe we're gonna get a big issue. And just like nothing really happened, man. He was like caught in his dreams, and he was like a playboy. It was dumb, and I was pissed. I was like, oh, this sucks. So it was just kind of like a real letdown. Let's see. What else did I like? The Energon Universe special, but I won't talk about it since we kind of just bled into that too much. Geiger number 2. So this is kind of the new universe that I'm really excited about as well, is like the Ghost Machine stuff. Geiger number 2 came out, I think, next week. What's it called? Red Coat.
Yeah.
Red Coat 2 comes out, which I loved. Red Coat. It was awesome. but Jeff Johns kind of writing this, you know, Rook Exodus as well. Like this little, what the unnamed universe or the Ghost Machine and the unnamed like saga. It's really cool. I'm enjoying it. The art's great. I really enjoyed Geiger. And then like a side shout out as well. The Amory Wars, Good Apollo and Burning Star 4, Volume 2, No World for Tomorrow, the Coheed and Cambria book. issue 1 came out. Everyone knows I'm a massive Coheed and Cambria fan. So Claudio Sanchez came out with the new number 1 on what it should be like a 10-issue series for No World for Tomorrow storyline. So that was cool. But my pick of the week is a book we've kind of been trying to talk about like week after week, and we just haven't. We both of us read it about a month ago at this point, but it's Ain't No Grave, written by Scotty Young and art by Jorge Corona. Really good, really cool. Not a lot of dialogue. There wasn't a lot of like story being told, but the art told the story well enough, and really liked it. It's got like a, you know, Middle Western theme. It's got a supernatural aspect. Basically there's the main character is sick and she leaves her family behind to try to get better. And of course, the heartbreak of leaving her daughter and her husband behind. And she's going to kill death, right? So she's trying to fight her sickness, but not in like the way most people do in the regular world. She's trying to buck the system and stay alive. So really cool stuff. You know, Jorge Corona, I don't talk about art very often, but Jorge Corona is great. I loved, Me Who Comes in the Dark, or
I know the one, like Let the Darkness In, or
no, oh my gosh, dude, it was like a little mini series that he did. It wasn't super popular, but it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, Me Who Loves in the Dark.
Something weird like that. The Me You Love in the Dark by the same team.
Sounds like a True Life Crew song.
Yeah, but really enjoyed it. Check it out. Great first issue. It's 5-issue miniseries, so nice and sweet. And it's a big issue. Like it's a little bit bigger than normal. So definitely check that out. Ain't No Grave.
So. Yeah, it was a good read, you know, obviously following up with the Transformers art. So it's the same style, just in the Western. So
yeah
it was a cool like ending, you know, right at the end where she finds that character. She's like, oh, I'm going to hell.
There's something about the colors in this book too. Like the Transformers art's great, don't get me wrong, but there's something about the colors in this book compared to like his work in the Transformers stuff. The colors pop in this book. It's wild. So I really liked it.
Nice.
So yeah, so that's what we got. Unless Otto's got any more.
No, not at all. I'm gonna have to check that out. No, I'm definitely, like I said, all in on the Energon. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Still waiting though for the last issue of Justice League versus King Kong versus Godzilla. Yeah. We're like 8 weeks delayed. So it's, you know, I've listened to a few podcasts, and I was listening to former writers talk about when stuff gets delayed and how, you know, it's ruined certain books, especially.
Oh, yeah. It kills momentum.
And Brian Buccetto, he was the writer for this, and he was killing it with this whole tie-ins with the arcs. And, you know, I'm hoping for a double issue finale now to see how they wrap this up, because listen, we're not reading War and Peace or anything like that, but what they have done with this is thoroughly exciting, especially how you remove Superman, without telling you guys how, you know, Superman is in the book but not in the book, and how they brought the Titans in and talk about Skull Island. And just, I don't want it to end, but I want it to end because I want to see how they end it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
of course.
You know what I mean? So
they do the whole villain, you know, they do the whole Legion of Doom. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. It's perfect.
They even reference the Super Friends. It's like, oh, great, because they're super friends, you know, and like that just, you know, a callback to a great time.
Yeah. I've been reading it. Yeah. And it's just like, it went away, and I'm like, and then you said it, and I'm like, this sucks. It's like, it never finished up. And you see a lot of Titans in there, and then you just see a lot of the characters that are kind of like helping. And you know, when they go to Atlantis, and there's that big Titan there that's pretty badass with the fighting Godzilla. And you know, did you get the covers? Did you get like the number one and number twos that were the sound covers?
I didn't buy the sound covers, but I have to, but I bought all those covers too. I'm like, I'm all in on these. There's a couple of them I like, a couple of them I didn't like. But I was having so much fun with it that I wanted every version I wanted every version of every visual stimulus that I could get as far as these superheroes and these characters and King Kong and Godzilla. And, you know, because I thought the way they did Skull Island is just amazing. So, and I've been watching the Apple show too.
Monarch.
I've been watching Monarch. So I enjoyed that. So, man, it's this geek stuff is awesome. So,
Did you go see Kong and Godzilla? Did you see the new movie?
No, I did not. Okay. So I'm back on those, but I will. You know,
it was good. It was a fun movie. Like,
yeah,
it was, I enjoyed it better than what I heard was, you know, things were happening.
Right.
But, you know, for the whole, whatever, Middle Earth type of, what is it?
Almost Middle Earth, right? Or Center Earth.
Yeah, it's like whatever it is. But it was good. You know,
hey, copyright, bro. Middle Earth is copyright, dude. You don't get us canceled here.
Earth 2.
IP
I don't know.
Infringement.
The center of the earth. Who knows?
Yeah. But it was good. No, it was really cool. And like Godzilla gets his dues and some, you know, random Titan show up and it's fighting. It was a fun movie.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
Seeing it in the big screen is the way to see that movie too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Well, cool. Let's move on here. So we got Otto here, and Otto is going to tell us about the annual
In
the Basement Comic Swap. Walk us through this, dude. What's going on?
Dude, so, oh my God, it's unbelievable that we've gone to, this is our fourth year now with the scale that we've done it at. To bring you back, the first 3 minute of Basement Comic Book Swap happened, I want to say six years ago. The first purchase ever at the 3 minute Basement Comic Book Swap is when Nemesis Prime sold me a Deadly Class number 1, 9.8. He oversold it to me because whatever.
I'm sure that helped value, huh? Didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that held value. Exactly. No. And that was the first sale, and that's in 3MIB lore. And that started with 14 people. And now, if I told you we counted last night, we have over 35 vendors. You know, that's amazing in itself. And we've scaled it to where we want it to be. And again, the swap was based on people bringing stuff that they wanted to buy and trade. Because, you know, eBay at the time was going a little bit crazy. I said, let's get everybody together. So, you know, many people from the comic community who started off with this, and I'll tell you, JNS Collectibles was our first big vendor that showed up from day one. Dennis Four Comics was there, Ex-Illusionary, Jada Butcher, Very Gary, you know, Nemesis Prime was there, Dave in the Cave, you know, a lot of guys from this local area that showed up, and Roger and I, and even Bernie 1869, we had a great day. Then it got a little bit bigger, and then one time we held it down in Jersey, which is what I want Justin to do next, because I don't want to plan this. I want to have him plan it down there. And then my buddy decided to open up this massive heavy metal hair salon, which is 5,000 square feet of greatness. And I said, you know, let's do something where we can get all these people together and we make a day out of it. Because what I wanted to get away with is the monthly cons or the bigger cons where you walk around once or twice, you got your head in some long boxes, you look at some wall boxes, you bump into somebody, you know, and next thing you know, you're taking off. Well, you know, comic books are more than that, right? Comic books are talking about stories, talking about your hunts, talking about what you did to obtain this certain book or what you thought about this story or what this story meant to you. And we just threw up the 3MIB signal. And next thing you know, we've got vendors like Very Gary, Erod 212, Richie's Comic Cabana. So we have big vendors that do big shows, but more importantly, of those 35 vendors, you guys, 15 of them are private collectors. Okay. So private collectors who have, you know, been on Instagram or social media that have half a dozen to a dozen shorts and longs that, you know what, it's time for them to move. And they either want to trade them or sell them. And this, we're giving them the perfect platform to do it. So that's why I think it's really neat. You know, along with that, we're giving you a DJ, a food truck. We want you to come and spend the day. You know, if you're going to take your time away from your family, then spend that time, you know, and make it worthwhile. And it keeps everybody there. We do an amazing raffle table, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm really, really thankful that it's worked out like this. I had to get insurance this year because we've had some incidents along the way. So I have been growing this and understanding, you know, and, you know, when I see the level of work that something like this goes into to that what Mitch Halleck has to do and, you know, even what Greg at KingCon has to do. So I completely understand it. And as much work as it is, it just, you end up the next couple of days like living on the high of it. And I truly enjoy that because we get a lot of people that travel. So, you know, it's pretty wild.
It's a great thing. Obviously, you know, I've been there almost every one, you know, and then hosting the one here in Jersey. I mean, it's crazy to think that, and I don't think people understand, like, you're just like a normal guy. You know, you have a full-time job. You know, Roger's got a full-time job. You know, everybody else, their full-time jobs, they're not comic related jobs. Right. And you guys are doing this, you know, for the community. It's something that you've been able to put together every year. And the fact that it's not, like you said, it's not just a comic show. Like, you got the food truck there, you have the raffle stuff. Like, I don't know if you'll have alcoholic beverages this year.
We'll see about all that. That'll be outside the facility.
Outside. Yeah. But that's what's cool is, like, yeah, like, sometimes, like, I would stay at a show longer, like the monthly shows here in New Jersey, if I could just walk outside and grab something to eat and then come back in. Like, if I'm hungry, like, I'm going to leave and then I'm not coming back.
That's exactly what
I'm saying.
That's exactly what I said, because, you know, you coming from Jersey, a lot of the guys are coming from New York, a lot of guys come down from Mass. Listen, we're all human in nature, man. We got to eat. So what do? You get up, you get your coffee, you pick your buddy up. Hey, let's go look at these books. You walk around for 3 hours, you know, human nature, you're hungry. Mm-hmm. When you get in that car and leave, you know, the property, you're not coming back. Right. Yeah. What does that let you miss out on? Well, you might miss out on a trade. You might miss out on a great conversation. Somebody who you only know through, you know, social media shows up and you miss out on him, and don't want you to miss out on that stuff. And I think that's where this really stems from. And, you know, I really am flattered how many people tell me that this is their favorite show of the year. And I'm like, hey, man, I appreciate that. And, you know, with our level of sponsors to make this happen, and people just reached out, and, you know, we created a waiting list. Like, I had a waiting list of people that are like, yeah, we want to sit up there. We hear good things. I hope you do, man. You know, like, I don't sell a lot of books there. You know, we don't really make we don't make money. We just take that money and then have it pay for Terrificon. So it's pretty much a wash. Anything we sell is from our personal collection, and I don't really sell a lot of stuff. So, you know, but I'll tell you, this year we've got something really neat. Last year we had CK Sweets, which was a cookie table. Mm-hmm. And she was a baker, that she did it out of her home. She started a business, and unfortunately she couldn't make it this year. And I can't tell you how many people have said, oh my God, those cookies were delicious. Or, oh my God, those cake pops were delicious. Or, you know, that's just something that remembered us. So I reached out to a coworker of mine, you know, in my part-time life. Turns out she's a baker and she's done this before, and she's been sending me pictures. And I'll tell you, these comments are just amazing. So, you know, you're going to get stuff like that. We don't have any Legos. I'm not going to have any, there ain't going to be Legos. There ain't going to be many toys. What we will have is tons and tons of vendors. And then what we do is we only charge you $5 to get in. Trust me, I've given out over 300 free passes, so I don't expect to make much at the door. But what we do have is we have an amazing raffle table. And that raffle table comes from every vendor donates a book or something that they think is neat, a collectible with a certain dollar amount. Then for $5, you can buy 2 tickets. For $10, you can buy 5. And for $20, you can buy 10 tickets. And you can put all 10 in one bag. Granted, when I tell you we have over 35 vendors, that means we'll have over 35 items. But some vendors are so generous, they give me 2 and 3 things. So you might have slab books. You might have raw books. You might have a lunchbox that I missed out on last year on. You might have prints, you know, and, you know, we keep the raffle there all day. And I was somewhere this past weekend when one of the vendors said, do you know, I spent money to try to win what I donated back. You know, so it's just, I don't know. It's really been a lot of fun. And so many people have said, hey, try this, and try that. And I've tried this, I've tried that. I didn't do that, but I did this. And, you know, now I'm on your podcast talking about it. So,
dude, it's awesome. It's a week away. It's next Saturday. And then not only that, but then you have the after party, right? You guys are actually doing like an after party gathering.
So what we have done previous to this, you know, a lot of us went back to my house, did a bonfire, but, you know, that takes a lot of work. Last year we just went to a restaurant, but I have learned that many people close to me in the Instagram comic book community love karaoke. That's amazing. Okay. That's amazing. I didn't know anything about it. If you love it, you love it. I mean, whatever. And so this year, the after party is going to be at a local pub called The Corner Pug. And it's a pretty cool Irish bar. And we have a karaoke DJ that's going to provide us some tunes, and, You might see some stuff on Instagram Live from 7 to 11 wow. that people don't want you to see. So, but again, because people are traveling, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you're traveling 2 or 3 hours and you're staying and you don't want to go, well, you don't have to go. Now let's go back. Let's break bread. Let's, you know, most of the time when you're there, you're not even talking about the comic books. You're talking about, hey, how was this experience or how was that experience? So, you know, you get a great meal, you get to sing some songs, you get to find something out. I don't know. It's, you know, it's just been a lot of fun and having everything come to fruition, like going over the map last night, putting everybody where they belong. It's just, my excitement is through the roof right now. So I'm sorry if I'm over talking it.
What time do doors open?
All right. So doors open at 10 o'clock. We don't do any early birds because I want everybody to, you know, walk in at the same time. It goes till 5 o'clock and the raffle is typically around 4 o'clock and a raffle does take a while. The raffle, you don't need to be present to win. But if you are present and you win, you get a little bit, we have some like free swag stuff that we give away to the people that stay for the raffle, you know? Mm-hmm. And trust me, if you win a raffle, I'll see you at Terrificon and I'll give it to you there. Okay.
I'm sure. And then you also guys do other stuff other than the raffle, right? You guys have just like hourly stuff that's going on or like games or whatever. So it keeps people entertained. Keeps people engaged at, you know, at a show, which is something that typically we don't see, you know, I don't see at the normal monthly shows here in Jersey.
You know, like, so I'll give you an example. So at 10:45, the first thing I'm going to say is show me a book with Wolverine and Deadpool on the cover. If you show me a book, you're going to, the first person to come up and show me that book, you know, whether it's a retailer or a patron, you're going to win a free t-shirt, you know? And then 45 minutes after that, show me, you know, show me something you bought today that has Justice League on the cover, something like that. So we'll do a little bit Q&A and it gets everybody involved. And more importantly, it gets the vendors involved. And, you know, vendors, when they come, when they do these, this is their job, right? This is their work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are vendors that just don't break out of that mold, but you know what? You put a little background music, you make it a little bit interactive, you name a cocktail or two after them. And next thing you know, they're having a great time too. And I want them to say, hey, we're coming back next year. I mean, I want them to say, yeah, we made good money, but I also want them to say, hey, I had a blast. Or I never want them to say, I'm never doing this again. This was ridiculous. You know what I mean? So, so that's, you know, that's, those are all the things that are going on.
And you got some sponsors, right? Who's sponsoring?
Yeah, we got tons of sponsors, man. So our pedigree sponsor is our boy Sweet Gems. We've got guys that have stepped up, like King Con stepped up to be one of our sponsors. We've got a lot of local comic book collectors. The Comic Con podcast is a sponsor of the 3MRB. Those guys stepped up, you know. Jose Spidey Powder Tumblers, Chew King Dome. We've got Second Alarm Comics, Millhouse Comics, Pope of Chili Town, Comic CT, Big Daddy's Comics. You know, he was the first person that said, listen, I know you have to pay for insurance this year. He goes, this is my favorite show. And if you guys don't know John Ross or follow John Ross, you should be. He is by far one of the most generous people. He pretty much said, you tell me what it costs to be a sponsor to cover this insurance and I'll do it because I want to have this day so bad.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So DJ Lynx, you know, DJ Lynx, this is a very funny story. He'll have his books, Curing Comics for Cancer. He'll have a new print for that. But this was... when we approached DJ Lynx about this, he set up as a vendor for the first time 3 years ago at our swap. So that was the first time he became a vendor. And I think a lot of these guys are showing up. We also have a new vendor for the first time, Chapter 11 Comics. Mm-hmm. He's this deadbeat out of Massachusetts that you guys might know as the Amazing Murfinator.
So, yeah, he was at King Chapter 11.
Yeah, Chapter 11 Comics. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so guys like that, you know, and these are, again, personal collectors that want to sell their books and why to buy books from somebody else. And let me tell you, there's been the vendors are willing to swap and we're keeping in that, you know, like trades, because they're always looking for new inventory. You guys, that's what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, when these vendors set up monthly, you know, we that go to these shows monthly, we like to see new books and, you know, swapping your books have equity. So, you know, they hold value. You know, you're not going to get a 2K book for a $500 book. You guys know that. But with all due respect, you know what you're getting and you move stuff. It's fun stuff.
Yeah. So are you For the YouTube, for your YouTube channel for 3 Men in a Basement, are you guys doing a live show beforehand just to kind of, you know, show people some of the vendors, you know, what's kind of the game plan from the time that this drops? May 10th. So this next week.
Yeah. So what you'll do is, so next on Saturday, you'll see on our Instagram page, you'll see all the vendors that will be attending. So you know that. And then Monday and Wednesday night from 8 to 10 o'clock. Eastern time, we're going to have two dealer preview shows. Okay. So what is a dealer preview show? A dealer preview show is exactly what it is. We give each vendor a 15-minute block. They show off books that they're bringing, whether it's raw, graded, anything that they're bringing to sell. And what the best part about it is, this creates interest before the actual show. People will comment, you know, on the rewind, hey, put this book aside for me, or contact somebody via messenger and say, hey, listen, I saw you had this book on the dealer preview show, put it aside for me, I'll make the deal. And man, people are so happy when they make deals before the deals.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, and
they can bring more stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or they know what they're getting into. You know, I can't tell you, like, I will tell you guys, just if you're watching this, we do not have an ATM on site. Okay. You will have to get in your car. And I think the closest ATM is like 0.7 miles away. And it's at a local gas station, and you'll probably only get to take out a certain amount, and you're going to get whacked with a fee. So, but everybody, you know, I'm 99%, and I can't speak for everybody at 100%, but PayPal, Venmo obviously is accepted. And I'm sure there's other ways. But obviously cash is king. So, you know, I forget to tell that often, and these are just little things. And thank you very much for making me bring up those details, because again, not huge details, but big details. When you want to buy a big book, you know, and you want your cash.
So. Yeah. Cash is better than, you know, people don't, some people don't want to do like the Cash App or Venmo. They want the cash. And sometimes it's, and that's the same thing. Like when I go to the monthly shows here in like New Jersey, sometimes I'm just like, oh, where am I going to go? Like if I go to Clifton, I'm like, I got to find a bank. There's nothing around. There's like a 7-Eleven, but I, you know, that ATM is only going to take out less than what you normally could take out from like a bank ATM. So it's you got to become prepared. You come prepared with cash, you know, try to get it on that Friday. You can always pick up a little bit more on Saturday, but yeah, that's always important. Cash. Yeah. So I'm excited for it, man. Next week, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, and the best thing is, like you said, you have a lot of private guys, but a lot of guys that are just all community people. It's not like your typical retailers that are setting up. You're not having like big name, you know, not to say that we don't like the big name people that would come in, but they're just people like any of us, right? You know,
right.
Hey, we're just setting up with a couple boxes. We price some stuff out. You know, we're not trying to, you know, get 100% comps on these things. You know, we want to move these books because we want something better. So,
right. And I will tell you guys, a lot of guys are doing a lot of, you know, the vendors, are doing a lot of books for 5 for $25, or they're doing the $10 books. They're doing, you know, they're doing that kind of thing. So you'll get a lot of those books, you know, I'm sure dollar boxes will be there. You'll have your wall books. But I'm really excited because, you know, a lot of people, setting up, you know, Uncle Frank's Comics, he only sets up when we're around, you know?
Yeah.
And he brings his buddy Joe. Who's Joe? You'll see when you see Uncle Frank's Comics and the stuff, the inventory that this guy Joe has. So when you see Uncle Frank, ask where Joe is. So we do have two local artists. I will tell you that. We have my brother, Power Kid Comics, who did our variant for 3MIB. And he does Power Kid Comics. He sets up next to us at Terrificon. He's just a great artist. He went to the Kuber School of Cartooning. And then we have a local artist, Jinx Moving Studios, Matt Wilson, who does books for the Comic Mint. He's another local guy. So those are our two local artists that will be there. And the rest of it is comics, comics, comics.
Awesome.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. So next week, next Saturday at the Angry Hair, 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So if you're in the area and you still have time, and, you know, and again, it's perfect. It's after Mother's Day, before Memorial Day. So you got it on an off week. So if you're not doing anything, you know, come up to Connecticut.
Please, I'll be there.
It's a lot of fun, people. It's, you know, we talk weekly about how great Terrificon is as a 3-day show, but as like a 1-day fun community show. You know, if you didn't get a chance to go to King Kong, this is your next best thing here on the East Coast. And I think it's, you know, you guys do so much, you know, as far as a community driven YouTube channel, and you have so much extra stuff that you do specifically for it, like the YouTube stuff that you're gonna do live, like for the dealer previews. Like, that's not something that's done. Other people don't do that. So I'm excited. You know, again, we're happy to sponsor, you know, the 3 Men in a Basement Comic Swap, and, you know, we'll be there obviously next week. So Before we get out of here, let's kind of get into some articles. We like to talk about all different comic books. So kind of let's roll into some articles from some comic book stuff. Zach, why don't you kick us off with that Marvel?
Yeah, so we got I'm gonna kind of group a couple together. We got some X-Men articles here that we're gonna kind of dive into. So obviously, if you've been following the news on X-Men, we got the Fall of Krakoa, and a lot of titles have been released. We got the three X-Men titles that were already released. I think we have Phoenix, NYX, some of the other ones, right? But so we just got X-Force, we just talked about last week. Well, we now got released as well that X-Factor will be coming back. So X-Factor, new team. And this team, honestly, you know, there's been a lot of like, I saw a couple posts on Instagram, right? And
people all right, what do they say? I just saw this picture. I like this picture.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Okay.
I like this picture.
Let me rant a little, Otto. So people were like, oh, this team, I don't know. It's like really meh. And I was like, what are you talking about? So the team is, it's a dual co-led team by Angel and Havoc, which, okay, X-Factor is Havoc, FYI. Correct. Like, I don't know how you would have an X-Factor title without Havoc. And then include three other characters, Pyro, who was big in the Krakoa age, the early Krakoa age, Frenzy as well, and Feral is making a return as well. And then so they also talk about there'll be some new two new recruits as well, Dr. Cecilia Reyes, and an all-new, brand-new character named Zyber with an X. So I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
So people like were just like, it's really meh. And I think I posted on someone's comments because I saw all this like hate on someone's IG. And I was like, I bet all you people complaining are the same people who thought Captain Britain, Betsy Braddock, Captain Britain was well-written and was a great title. Like, and these are the same people who also are just like, I don't know, dude. I could go on and on about it, but it just really made me mad. And I was like, this is a great lineup. Like, I'm excited for X-Factor. It's a government team again, which I think is so great. Like, I love the Peter David stuff, obviously. Yeah, it's among, like, the greatest written X title of all time, right? Like, you can mm-hmm. say, obviously, like, the Claremont era, and you can pick the, right. The classic stories. But if you're not throwing Peter David's run on X-Factor in there as, like, one of the most fantastic X titles ever written, you're wrong. There's just no, like, there's no debating it. But, and I mean, I just love X-Factor so much. I even like the garbage years later when it was like Forge leading the team with like Wild Child, Sabretooth, and Mystique, like random. So I don't know, man, I'm pumped about it. So, so we got that one. We have another title getting released called Exceptional X-Men. And it's also kind of like a co-written team or co-led team of both Kitty Pryde and Emma Frost. And it looks like there's going to be three all new characters. So one of the things I think is kind of cool about the Krakoa Age is you're coming forward with like all new characters, which we haven't really seen in the X-Men universe in a while. Let's see, what are the names? You got the metallic and whip wielding Bronze, the emotion stirring Axel, and the stealth skilled fighter Melee. So under Kitty and Emma's tutelage, to learn not just how to survive, but to thrive. But Kitty and Emma haven't always seen eye to eye, but they'll also have lessons to teach each other as they take up the call once more for the children. So this is also coming after, like, if you've been following Fall of X, Kitty is not happy with the way the X-Men's going. She's kind of been really brutal since the Hellfire Gala stuff. And she's kind of on the outs. She doesn't really want anything to do with the X-Teams right now. And history between these two is long and bitter between both Kitty Pryde and Emma Frost. And lately they've kind of been like, you know, bridging the gap. But I'm excited about this one too. Like, I think it's really cool to see Emma Frost go back to teaching again, you know, the old like Generation X type stuff. We haven't really seen her, you know, teaching young mutants, so to speak, anymore. And I think it'll be a good title. So what about you, Otto?
I'm all in on this X Factor. I mean, I love to see the way they write Havoc in so many different ways, because growing up, you know, in the 70s and 80s, Havoc was always on the periphery, and then the X Factor stuff. But I like the way they write him. I think he's way more powerful than they give him credit for in a lot of certain things. Again, I'm pretty in on Angel being a leader. I'd like to see that. I think Feral's a great character. So
yeah,
you know, and also, you know, Pyro from the, you know, even from Krakoa, the movies, being the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. I don't know. I like this rendition of him. I think his costume looks great. So I'm really anxious to read this and to get into this new X-Men stuff.
Yeah. And so then the final, well, real quick, one thing I want to say about Havoc too, like just going back to these people who irritated me, like, yeah, this is a real meh title, right? You're talking like Angel is one of the five original X-Men.
Yes. Okay?
Like, I don't really know what you're, and then when he's Archangel, he's one of, he's so cool. And then you have Havoc. So people always forget that Havoc, so you had the five original X-Men, and then Havoc and Polaris were part of the X-Men also. Like,
right.
Who'd you think Giant Size X-Men, who'd you think that team was going to rescue, dude? Like, right. Havoc was there, bro. He's yeah. early on. So this is like an OG X-Men, dude. Like, fucking people, man. Anyway.
They came out in the 60s. I mean, they were like 50 yes. and 55. Like, I mean, what more do you want? Like,
I know, yeah.
1955, you guys. Like, not like... I mean, issue 55 in the fifth, you know what I mean? So
I don't know what these people want, but then the final X title that just kind of got announced, obviously no one should be surprised. Wolverine number one relaunches with Saladin Ahmed and Martin Kokolo. So obviously from the Ashes relaunch, we got Wolverine coming back. This is going to take place after Benjamin Percy's amazing run that's getting ready to end. I know you haven't heard Justin and I talk about Wolverine probably a couple of weeks because we were so heavy on it, but we got one more issue. It ends, 50 ends, and then Wolverine's coming back. So should be no surprise. But Saladin Ahmed is great. I'm enjoying the Daredevil run currently. So it should be a good title as well. Looks like there's going to be some Nightcrawler in this as well. And that's one of the best dynamic friendships that I love in comics is Wolverine and Nightcrawler. So I hope we get to see a lot of that. And good stuff on the horizon for X-Men post-Krakoa. I think we still got a lot to look forward to. So that's what we got. I think that's kind of it right on the articles, unless you're holding on to one, Justin, right?
No, I got a brand new series. So, you know, we were obviously talking about the nostalgic feels with all the Transformers and G.I. Joe, right? And this one's actually over from Dynamite Entertainment, so dynamite.com. Thundercats Chitara pounces into her own comic book series. So Sue Lee and Dominica Carbone debut hit franchise's first spinoff. So Dynamite and Warner Brothers Discovery Global Consumer Products invites fans to pronounce onto the new comic book with Chitara. You know, we've seen a little bit of, you know, we've got what the first three issues have been out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Thundercats, old school 80s stuff, but this is, you know, kind of what they've been doing with on the Image side with the Energon universe. You've had these little mini series with, you know, Cobra and Duke, and obviously we got Destro and Scarlet coming out. Transformers stuff has their ongoings, got the Void Rival stuff, but, you know, here's characters that, you know, need some love, right?
Right.
And I think, especially, how can you not want to start with a female character from Thundercats? Like, Lino is the main character, right? In Thundercats, he's always going to have the most page time.
Yeah.
Most page time, most words. But let's throw out some, you know, characters. So you got Chitara, and it's really interesting. So this is kind of taking place before the destruction of Thundera. It's kind of her as a younger character with some secrets. Now, for the first time, those secrets will be revealed, wrapped up in a stifling life on Thundera Nobility. She seeks to find her place in an unsure universe to understand why she's experiencing alarming visions of both the past and the near future. So this is coming out in July. It's available for pre-order right now this month. But they got some pretty badass covers over at dynamite.com. And I'm pretty excited about this because I posted it, I think, like a week or two ago on Instagram. I'm currently rewatching that reboot Thundercats cartoon from the Cartoon Network.
So good.
And it was so different because, like, Chitara was like a more of like a mage character, right? Like,
really?
She kind of was part of like this cult, or she was, you know, part of what was going on Thundera. But, you know, she was kind of in this, you know, cult thing where they had these abilities. And I guess that's kind of like why she has her speed. You know, it's never inclined, but that's, you know, why she has, like, she's so fast. But I'm excited for this because I think if this does well, I really want to see like a Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat spinoff. Like, I love those characters. Like, they're my favorite characters from the original Thundercats. So this is going to be a cool little spinoff. So if you've been enjoying the Thundercats right now with Deacon Shelby's the writer of that, you'll get Sue Lee writing this. And like I said, there's tons of superstar artists. Soza Micah, Larix from the Art Germ, you know, era of stuff. So there is going to be some pretty cool covers for Chitara coming out in July. So look forward to the issue number one through Dynamite. So
I think people must be listening to the podcast, bro, because this is the stuff we talk about all the time. Is we say, like, hey, these like nostalgic characters, you need to have these miniseries, right? Like, you have to beef up these characters. It's the problem you get in mini properties over like nostalgia, right? Like, you have to, like you said, like Thundercats, it's constantly Lionel,
right.
Lionel, and your supporting characters. And it's just not enough anymore to like carry these titles, you know? And this goes across the board to like everything. Like, and not to be like a broken record, but I've talked about it a million times with like the X-Men movies. Like, we can't have every movie about freaking Xavier, Magneto, Mystique, and Wolverine. Like, we got to branch out, beef up, give me some other characters. And it can be tough in the comic book format, but this is an easy solution. Is like, you have your main title and Thundercats, and then boom, let's here's like five mini series on Chitara, like you said, pre the book
background.
Give her some background, know where she's coming from.
Yep.
I mean, that's what we Justin and I have said this as well when it comes to like the Energon universe. Like, I love the strategy they're using here with like the 5-issue mini series. You get a Joe, you get a Cobra, boom. So you get to see Duke and Cobra Commander. Of course, those are going to be the first two, right? Now, right. Destro and Scarlet. And I mean, just who else isn't feeling the anticipation for a Snake Eyes book, right? Like, you know, it's coming, like Snake Eyes and
Storm Shadow.
Yeah. Like, that's going to be paired.
Right. Them, right? But more importantly, running coinciding together, you know, that's what I think is important. And you can do this with this storyline too. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe introduce the twins, right? But do it one issue at a time, you know, or do, you know, or have something where Puma and, you know, somebody else, you know, you kind of run them side by side and you keep certain characters in certain lanes. That's why I thought Duke and Cobra Commander worked so well, is because you had so many characters, all these ancillary characters, but you were able to keep them in one certain book, like Tomax and Dammont were in Cobra Commander, right? Major Blood was in Duke. You know, you kept the Bloodhounds there. You kept the Dreadnoughts over here.
Yeah.
You can do that with, I mean, you're world building right now, right? By doing this, by re-releasing this stuff, you're world building and giving these people, you know, 5 issues to tell their backstory and to give them credibility and answer questions that we have as older collectors and readers, per se, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited. Any of the characters you could pick, obviously, you know, like, someone like Panthro is a like a general, like he's the general of their army. Like he can have
show him before.
Show him like what he's done before, you know, before the cartoon. You have
show me what decisions led to Tigra growing that mustache. You know, tell me why he's sporting this horrible mustache. Like, what bad decisions in his life led to this mustache? Like,
how
was the Sword of Omen forged? You know, like, give me a little bit of hint of that. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I'll take the villain side, right? You know, like, show me the mutants, you know, show me, you know, give me like a Jaga, like, give me like an old school, like, what was he doing before all this stuff? So, there's a lot of characters that are introduced that are, and there's so many characters, especially in Thundercats, that they can do. You know, you have like Bengali, you have Lion-X, like there's so many characters that they're going to introduce at some point, but like even just before they introduce them, or let's say they introduce them in one issue, hey, we're also coming out with like a mini series to like give you a little bit more of a background on this character, because there's a lot of things that maybe people don't know about, like from the 80s cartoon, or you know, read like the Star comics, or read when it got transitioned to Image, or you know, wherever Thundercats was, because it bounced around like different publishers. So
Yeah, it's great, dude. And, you know, nostalgia is heavy right now. People are loving it. And with the success of like things like the Energon universe, like this is the way to go. Like, we can bring these properties back. We can have them be strong and they don't need to disappear. Like, you know, next up, Voltron. Come on, bring me back some Voltron. Like, let's do it.
Right.
So
5-issue mini series on all those characters, you know,
right.
On all of them. You know what I mean? Like, and then do whatever. I don't know. Just exactly. Yeah.
Dynamite's they're pulling out some stuff, man. You know, with the Warner Brothers stuff, they you know, they recently announced, and this is not really for us, but you know, they're doing Powerpuff Girls #1. Like, they're bringing back the Powerpuff.
They have properties, They have good properties, So Dynamite, it's weird, dude, because it's like IDW is kind of like going down, right? They're just hanging on to Turtles, like with like
Sonic
with
and
tip of their tails, and then Dynamite's making some moves, man. Like, I've been impressed with what Dynamite's been doing lately, so. Anyway, great show. Once again, give us the quick Down and Dirty Details Auto for the swap.
You got it. May 18th, Newington, Connecticut. Angry Hair 102 Payne Road in Newington. Put that in your GPS. Follow along with Three Men in a Basement on Instagram and on YouTube for all the updates. Get ready. Bring cash. Bring your books. Bring everybody. Bring the kids. Bring the wife. We got food, DJs, good times, lots of people taking footage. Feel free. If you're coming, feel free to take as much content as you like. You know, and when you come, just make sure you find us and tell us your handle and your real name, please, because there's still so many people I don't know their real names, but that's okay, because that's who they identify as, and that's all good, man, you know. So Zach, hope you can make the trip. I know it's pretty far for you, but we'll catch up at Terrificon. Is next. Terrificon is next. So again, you guys, always love coming on, love to be able to sit in the passenger seat, love to have content talked about. So fantastic night. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I'll be there next week. Just another shout out for a community event this weekend. Of course, our buddy Scott Palachek, who's been on the show. I was set up with him at the Philly show a couple of weeks ago. He will be at the Phillipsburg Comic Con in New Jersey, down in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. They do a Comic Con every year. It's put on by the art teacher of the high school over there. So he's going to be set up with his comic shop, Jaff Comics. So he'll be there this Saturday. You can go ahead and Google just Phillipsburg Comic Con. So if you get a chance, if you got nothing going on this Saturday, you know, go check out that if you're here in the New Jersey or PA area. It's a good show. It's, like I said, it's put on by a high school teacher. She gets some decent names, some artists and some writers. You'd be surprised who shows up to these
that's cool.
to the Comic Cons, like, especially it's a 1-day show, and it's cool. Like, she gets all like some of the high school students to help out. So it's fun. You know, it's nice. A good community event. They do have some local people, obviously, like I said, like Jaff Comics sets up. And then there's other, just some like local, retailers / people like us that kind of just set up, but it's interesting. It's at the high school. So if you get a chance, like I said, Phillipsburg Comic Con, he will be there with his book, Marcus.
And also another shout out. Everyone, make sure you go over to Kickstarter, check out our buddy V. Ken Marion's Battle Chronicle Soul Striker Book 1. Campaign is still ongoing. They're about halfway there. So get in there, back some of this project, check out some of these covers and all the awesome goodies and just things that they got going on this campaign. So get in there, support it, check out the pages. It looks awesome. And just make sure you check that out. Battle Chronicle Soul Striker Kickstarter.
Hell yeah.
So cool. But yeah, I think that's about it. Anybody else?
No, man. We will catch you all next week, and we'll see you at the Three Men Swap in a week. So thanks, Otto, again.
All right.
Talk to everybody next week.
Later, guys.
Later.
Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com, and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.